Okay, today is the 20th of May, and I'm here at Sheila and Rick Simmons' home with Terry Ordway, who grew up here in Central. And this is Laurel Tyrell, and I'm specifically interested in some historical information about Central, but before we delve into the specific things I wanted to know, I thought I'd just get a little bit about your background and where you came from. So where were you born?
Rhinebeck, New York.
And where did you grow up? How did you come to Central?
We lived in Red Hook, New York for 7 years, L.A., California for 3 months, Seattle and Renton, Washington for 7 years, and then we moved to Alaska in 1968. We were here the summer of 67. We came up because of my stepfather's grandmother, my step-grandmother, to work on the mine at Eagle Creek.
And her name was?
Peggy Karstens.
Mm-hmm. Which is somebody I wanted to specifically ask you about, too. So we'll come back to Peggy in a minute. So what was the year you came to Central?
We moved here in 1968.
1968.
We were here the summer of 67 for the nice flood.
So there was a flood in 67.
Yeah, the big flood flooded Fairbanks. Actually, everything north of the Alaska Range, I was told, is when we went back into it, when I went to the university, how much water there actually was in the interior. It was just, everything was underwater.
How about Crooked Creek? What was Crooked Creek like?
We were at Eagle Creek that mm-hmm. summer, but Crooked Creek flooded also. There's a lot of old river beds through Central, and so the creek went through a lot of those old river beds. So most of the houses in Central stayed fine. I remember the old house we were going to live in, my grandparents' house. The only thing that actually flooded was the root cellar because of all the riverbeds through the town.
So you ended up living at your grandparents' house?
Mm-hmm. We did.
Mm-hmm. And Peggy was married to Heine Karstens, correct? And whose house, do you know the history of the house?
That was Heine Karstens' house. The main cabin was built, which we call the living room, was built, I want to say, in the 40s or 50s. It might be earlier. The two additions, the kitchen and the bedroom, were old huts or little cabins from mining claims that were moved down to add onto the house. Heine had claims up on Portage Creek and Eagle Creek.
So he moved some of the buildings that were from there down to...
I think the Portage buildings got moved. They may have been buildings from other creeks also. I have no positive information on that. But there were additions, and they were the mining, little mining cabins moved on.
And when did you leave Central?
I left Central in 1973 to go to the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
And you'd never moved back full-time?
Never full-time. Summers, I came back for one winter, I'd say it might have been 78, 79.
So while you were here, how did you work on your education?
Correspondence study.
Through?
What used to be the Centralized Correspondence of Alaska out of Juneau. Most of my courses came from the University of Nebraska and American School.
Mm-hmm. And was it mostly your mother that helped you, or did your father help you too?
No, mostly mom. One class I had, Ed Galvin helped me with, was an aviation class.
Hmm. And how about, what kinds of economic things did your parents do here? They were into mining in the beginning, helping at the mine?
Helping at the mine. My dad worked up on the North Slope. My stepdad worked up on the North Slope our first two or three winters here. And then he got the job with the highway department after somebody passed away.
Do you remember who it was that passed away?
I believe that was Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy.
Yeah.
And did you take part in any kind of jobs while you were here?
I worked the summers, the winter of 78, I think it was 78, 79, I worked up the hot springs putting in their garden and went working in the pool.
Did your family take part in any subsistence activities?
A little bit of moose hunting, a little bit of rabbit hunting, a little bit of bird hunting. Other than that, no.
Any plant picking?
No, we put the garden in.
Okay, and then in 1973, you went off to the university, and did you end up getting a degree?
I have a bachelor's arts degree in archaeology.
In archaeology. Now I'd like to ask some questions about the community itself, and what can you tell me about the historical past of Central?
Central was established as a mining roadhouse beginning in 1898-99 area, and it was for people passing through, going from the Circle Gold Fields to the Fairbanks Gold Fields. And then eventually established small gold claims up on all those creeks around Central. And that continued up right close to World War II when most of the men probably were shuffled off for mining for military service, is what I was told. A lot of the mining also dealt with a lot of the mining through the Chattanooga area with the dredges and the Davidson Ditch. I think a lot of the people also worked on building the road during World War II. I believe the road was improved during World War II to make it from a trail into the riprap type road. With the
you're talking about the Steeds Highway?
Yeah. Something I think my grandfather had said, Heine Carson's, had said he'd worked on. He did several of those type of things. What was passed on that he'd done this or done that.
Outside of the flood you talked about, did Heine ever talk about other floods?
No, he was kind of closed mouth about a lot of things. Very private person. But I don't think he ever talked about any other floods. I know there have been other floods, but not as major as this one in 67.
So can you think back on who lived here during the time that you were here?
Yeah, I'm going to start from one end of town to the other so I can kind of pick my people. Walter Jewell lived down at the far end of town, and he lived with Lucy Crow and her grandchildren, Linda and Danny. And then there was the Warren place. They were not living here at the time. They were living in Circle City. But they came and went. Ed and Virginia Galvin lived in the next house down, and the twins Colleen and Carol and Stan were still here. The older daughter Betsy had already moved away to go to school, I believe. There was an old gentleman living down on the creek. I can't remember his name.
Could that be Earl Stout?
Yeah. Roy and Jeanette Riddle operated the big lodge. They had a bar in there, and then they also had the post office in the lodge. And they were living here. Ruth and Roy Olson had the next house down. They were just on the right side coming into town. They were just here during the summers. Sharps had a place. They were summer people by then. Schultz had a place, and they were summer people. And then there was my grandfather's Heine Carson's place. And he and my grandmother Peggy, they moved to town when we moved up, moved to Fairbanks. Tom and Julie Kennedy were here, and they lived in the house, sort of kitty corners, that had the wagon wheel front. That was their home. Frank and Vi Pierce had the little roadhouse. They had a little store in there. At the time we moved up, it wasn't so much a food thing. It was they sold the groceries. And Riddles, more or less, had the other. They also had the Vi Frankel's had a package liquor store. That kind of remembered that one, kind of funny thing. Going up the Springs Road, the only people living on the Springs Road while we were here, I believe, was Doc Zurich and his wife. And I have no idea what her name was. I want to say Hilga or Helda for some reason. He was a really gruff old character, German. And then the going up towards Circle, there was maintenance facility. Nobody living on the left side, and Andy. Can't remember his last name either. He's Danish.
We'll come up with it.
Yeah, I was trying to put names to all these people. Gordon Bertelson, but he lived up at half a jump off. Rick would know Andy's name.
No.
It's one of the Danish and the Scandinavian names. Mm-hmm. They all sound alike to me.
Can you describe the post office at the lodge?
A little tiny, itsy bitsy room.
Mm-hmm.
You could barely turn around in it. And we delivered the mail then. So you'd go in and pick up the mail, and then it would be delivered to the houses.
You would deliver it to the houses? Yeah, that was one of your jobs?
We did that one or two years, yeah.
And was it, were there little cubby holes after that? Or what was it like in the lodge there? Could you if you wanted to go get your mail?
You didn't go get your mail. It was delivered.
It was delivered.
I think the only person who didn't, actually I think Gordon probably got his mail at Circle City. The mail was all delivered the first few years that we were here.
Mm-hmm. And how about Frank and Vi's? Can you describe Frank and Vi's?
Yeah, I actually can. The lower section had a pool table in it, and kind of was the entertainment center for the community. And then the upper part, which is now was turned into the bar and the restaurant, used to be just a little general store and had shelves all over it, and it had just about anything you could want. And then the upper part was their living quarters. You go in and they had a big counter, and you come up to the counter and get what you wanted. And the lower section, you could go in and you could play pool. It was kind of the meeting place.
You described that people came during the summer. Would you say they came because of the hot springs, or why were they summer residents?
I think they were summer residents just because they had grown older and needed to move out for better medical care or be closer to family. I know the Schultz used to deliver the mail, actually. I remember my first year here, I think they delivered the mail, and that was the last winter here. And they kind of sort of was one of the reasons is to be closer to their families while they moved out. Sharps, they were just up here in the summer, I think sometimes just somewhere to have their kids go so they could stay out of sort of trouble. They had a couple of rambunctious boys. used to drive their little green truck that's sitting down in the yard now, down the road, tried to chase everybody off the road. It was one of their pet things to do. They thought it was fun. Ruth and Roy Olson, I think, moved out for health reasons. They were very nice people.
So what effect do you think tourism has had on the area?
Well, I think the springs when we came up was still running fairly well. You could go up, it ran all year round, you could go up and swim. They had the very old pool and little small hot tub areas going out to the pool. You had to walk through the bar to get into the swimming pool, I remember. And I think that brought up a lot of people. The road was closed when I first moved up here during the winter, so it was fairly self-contained. If you were, you were either here or you weren't. I think once they opened up the road for winter, then you know, you had a little bit more tourism. But I think the springs brought it in, and then a lot of the tourists we talked to, I worked one summer in the University Museum, and they'd ask questions about what was up there, and you could kind of describe what was the scenery and what they'd see, and a lot of them just wanted to go see the Yukon River.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anything else, but just to say they saw the Yukon River, because at the time, it was the only way you could get there unless you flew over it or went up to Eagle.
Do you think men and women had the same kinds of work in Central, or did they tend to have different kinds of labor?
Pretty much the same. Yeah. I think everybody participated. If you're burning wood, you all participated in the labor to get it in. And
is that what you did, is you burnt wood?
Yeah, we burnt wood.
Are there any other historical events that I missed that were important for Central's past?
You know, Central is actually established for the goal, and I think that's still a sort of what's kept it alive all these years.
I did also want to ask you, thinking about Central's past, about your mother and her involvement with the 4-H. What do you know about, didn't she begin the 4-H here?
She did. I was gone by then, and I think it was she did it just for something for the kids. By the time I left, they put the school in, and she did it to get all the kids together to do something fun.
I think at one time she had the 4-H going. They called it the Frozen Trappers. There were 43 students in the school, and so there was a large number of students. And I think she had the 4-H going at the same years when the largest number of students were here. And some of the events, I think they were at the opening of the museum. Do you have any memory of that?
No, your mom? I was gone by then.
Your mother talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a lot of times she'd call and or write and ask for certain things. I know that finding green and white fabric was for some project. I think she had me scurrying around every fabric store in Fairbanks looking for green and white fabric one year. Sometimes I'd help out with that, or I know my sister was in it and she raised rabbits, because I remember being dragged around by an Angora rabbit in the yard one summer because we had it on a harness to walk it, because it was a show rabbit. That was kind of one of the projects. I know some of them did animal work, some of them did raising plants. She kind of had her hand in all of it.
I think the green and white fabric might have been for the opening of the museum.
It could have been. It was a lot of fabric for whatever reason. I know they also did floats and stuff. Because by this time there was more people in town, and that after I left is when they started doing the 4th of July parade and things. I know she also stayed involved with Girl Scouts for a while too, because I stayed in Girl Scouts throughout the time I was here. Linda Crow and I kind of did things together and did that for a while. But I stayed involved for the years I was here.
Mm-hmm. And do you still have lots to do with the Girl Scouts?
Yeah, I still do. I've been a Girl Scout since 1963.
Wow.
We spent one summer down, one winter down in Miller House. The last year it stood before somebody burned it down. We spent one winter down there. That was the winter of 1970. That was a really interesting place to live in, all the nooks and crannies, and they had an old post office in there also, and had very old stamps and presses. I think they even had a small printing press. Just fantastic little nooks and crannies to investigate with all sorts of very old items in it. Actually, I kind of enjoyed that one over there. It was kind of one of really, really fun places to explore.
And at that point, Miller House was on a little road that took off from like 116 Mile.
Yeah, down into the valley going up to Harrison.
So it was on Mammoth Creek or Mastodon?
I think it's on Mammoth.
Mammoth.
Of course, or it could be either one of those creeks that runs through there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a really interesting place.
Were you the only ones there?
Yeah. We caretaked it one winter.
Do you know who you were caretaking it for?
I can't remember. Very old lady. I think she passed away just after that.
Mm-hmm. Could it have possibly been Graciela Miller?
Yep.
Can you tell me, I know you weren't here in 1975, but you were here in 68 through 73. Can you tell me what the land and the weather was like then? I'm thinking about your experience with what might be climate change. How has the climate changed or not changed?
67 was very wet, and then there was a lot of summers that were really hot and dry. We seemed to have a lot of hot and dry summers after that, a lot of fires. There was one summer there was fires down off of Stack Pup Creek, and one just down in towards Medicine Lake, and then there was another up towards the Crazies. And that whole summer there was nothing but a blood red sun. That's all you could see. And it was hot and it was dry.
Started by?
Lightning. Dry lightning. No mm-hmm. rain with it. Then there was a couple wet summers in the late 70s. I think it's just something cyclic. You get some dry summers, some wet summers. I don't think there's climate change as much then as is now.
The winters a lot colder back then?
Yeah, much colder.
Longer period.
The winters were colder?
Yeah.
So you talked about the summers, but...
Winters, yeah, a lot colder. A lot of snow.
Mm-hmm.
The last few years, less snow. Warmer winters. Now, back then, 60 below for weeks and months on end wasn't unusual. Tended to always have a Chinook right around Christmas, too. Always seemed to happen, which is kind of neat.
Did you get any fresh vegetables right around Christmas?
Yeah, they were flown out.
Mm-hmm. Did Vi and Frank sort of facilitate that, or who was facilitating?
You basically kind of ordered your own things. You mm-hmm. wanted something fresh. Sometimes they would fly stuff in, but most of the time you wanted something, you have some friend put it on the plane for you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one year we got a nice Christmas gift. Somebody had sent us two cats. We had these two cats coming in on the plane. My sister got one, I got the other. They're just really interesting. I got them about 2 years before I went to Kauai from college. And they came in on a plane. Trying to remember them. Some really good friends of my parents kind of sent them out because we were having a mouse problem.
And that was their solution to the mouse problem.
We got some more cats. We had a little problem with cats getting eaten by whatever critters were in the area. heat, you find that your caps will go out in the fall and disappear, and eaten by probably, I would say now, I would probably say probably eagles or hawks at the time. They go out and wander. Our big fat cat Lucifer came in on a plane, I think, too, one winter. But yeah, that was the big excitement, was going down a lot of times just to, I'd walk down just to get out of the house and go down and see who was getting in on the plane. My parents would ship me off to Fairbanks for math tutoring on the plane, so it was exciting when I was going to go out on that plane. A lot of times I'd get on, and they were still, at the time, they were making a route from Fairbanks Central, Circle, Eagle, Chicken, and then back around. So they go one way and then turn around and come back. So this would also be the first and last stop because they pick up stuff at the other places coming here. So a lot of times I get on and I learned to fly that way. The pilots, it was Air North, the pilots would teach me to fly.
Cool.
They'd be bored.
And you said you went for math tutoring. What kind of math were you taking?
Trying to take algebra. Something my parents had no success in trying to learn or teach me. So that was, to get out of high school, I needed some help. And they sent me to stay with Millie Lott's Beach in Fairbanks. She was working with Girl Scouts at the time. She's their executive director. She figured it was a very safe place to send me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually where I met Fred Williams, because he was the principal at University Park School, and Millie put me over there during the day where I was working on my Girl Scout stuff, working in their library, helping their librarian. So I stayed for 2 or 3, 4 weeks or a month, and then get some tutoring, and then ship me back, and we do this back and forth about every 3 or 4 months. And then when I go off to Girl Scout camp for the summer, I was working Girl Scout camp, and the Girl Scout camps by the later. Just before I went off to college, getting my CIT training, which is learning to be a counselor. That's your last couple of years as a Girl Scout. You do that before you go into it, and I was learning how to do that. So I stay with them. So they also did canoe trips down the Birch during those years, and we put in down the Birch. My mom would put in a big feast at the end of the trip where everybody pile into our yard and have a big dinner. Potato salad and burgers and hot dogs and bread. Everybody go for the mom's homemade fresh bread. So that was kind of the big entertainment. We'd have all the canoe racks sitting in the yard and everybody gawking. Probably taking a lot of this out of context on you. Sorry.
Oh no, this is lovely. I love it when you get off on thinking about a story like that. You know, I think we were giggling about the math because both Sheila and I have gone through homeschooling high schoolers with math, and so you know that whole context hasn't changed in the years that you were in high school all the way through till now, when we're trying to deal with kids, you know, taking algebra. And we deal with it maybe a little differently, but since we don't have to put them on a plane any longer, you know. So I would say probably that feeds right into what the highway was like in those days. You know, you were doing, the highway was closed in the winter when you were flying in and out. And how often did the mail plane come then?
I would say twice a week.
Twice a week. So you probably got mail twice a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you ordered all your Christmas stuff, and my parents had this big habit, whatever they ordered for me for Christmas would never come at Christmas. And just like CC, I could go down and wait for whatever is coming on a plane, because it always seemed to be a box for me eventually, but it was always late. And then I had best friends in the States, the Baxter family, close friends when I was living in Seattle, in the Renton area, just before we moved up, and her family would send us a big Christmas box every year, which kind of sort of helped us get through the doldrums of of
60 below.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're inside a lot.
With two some very, very small children.
Very small
brothers,
siblings.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very small at the time. My sister was still very much in diapers when we moved here.
And you were in high school.
I was in high school. I was entering ninth grade. A very rebellious ninth grader. I did not want to be here.
Oh.
We had taken a map of Alaska and doubted Central in it. My best friends, we had a goodbye party when we moved up here and we darted Central. It's like,
oh.
Did not want me to come. And my friend Janine Baxter's parents had actually asked my parents if I could stay. And they said no because they needed help with the two little ones. So
mm-hmm.
They drove up and I flew up after I finished eighth grade.
And so now you're sitting in your brother's home. All these years later. And are you here for the summer or just a couple of weeks?
Just a couple of weeks, to just a break between different jobs with the school district.
Mm-hmm.
I do secondary kitchen supervisor during the school year. I do summer custodial during the summers just to keep active. But coming up here is kind of a relaxing from the rush of the city.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
The rush of the city.
Yeah.
Banks.
Well.
I know.
But it's still, it's
I know.
Busy.
Compared to here.
But your years here were before the Yukon Charlie became a national preserve.
Yes.
And before Birch Creek became a wild and scenic river.
Yes.
So your trips with the Girl Scouts were, did you put in at the canoe landing? It wasn't there, was
no,
it?
No, we walked down from just about where the canoe landing is now. We walked down through the brush,
mm-hmm.
down the hill. There was a kind of a little gravel pit you could kind of park off of. One year we put in down at the bridge at North Fork. The water was high enough. We actually put in there and then went down. But yeah, there was no restrictions on what you could do on the bridge at the time either. And that was a co-ed trip. We had Boy and Girl Scouts. I did that every year for about 10 or 12 years. I say it was that long of a period. And then the Girl Scouts put in regulations where you couldn't do the Class 3 and 4 rapids.
Oh.
It, you know, most of the time we lined them. But said it was too unsafe.
Unsafe. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're probably pretty up to date with what's going on in Central at the moment. Do you have any thoughts about what the future might hold for the community of Central?
I think actually, right now it's a little. Central's gone through the I believe the ups and the downs of economy, and I think as more people get fed up with city life, I think it'll pick back up and be more vibrant. There's definitely, when I moved here, I think we was 27 people and here during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely, my brother took me somewhere before last we went and did the power meter reading. I didn't realize how many places had been built in here, up this road and down this road. It's like, I was just amazed at how many places there were. So I think it's got a good future. I just know there's been a lot of effort to keep it here on the map. The fire departments and BLM and the state to keep this place alive. And
in other fires?
Other fires with the last few years. And I was just amazed at all the effort to keep it here.
Were you here during some of those fires on your summer visit?
Yep.
Can you tell me what years you were here that it was burning?
I was here for the last two big ones.
I know, 2004, the real big one we had to evacuate.
Yeah.
2004 and 2009, probably, because it was last year, right?
Not even before. I kind of missed last year. We had the two consecutive summers.
Mm-hmm.
It was either 3-4 or 4-5.
Okay.
So it was the last two summers I came up for the whole summer.
And do you remember what the community did with their children? Or old folks? Did they do anything to evacuate?
Just the one year, and it was voluntary. It was supposed to be mandatory, but nobody go. So anybody leaving was voluntary. And I know Sheila and Rick took their kids down to one of the creeks.
And this is mine. Didn't mm-hmm. Wesley go there too?
Yep, yeah. Wesley went there too. My son went too.
But other than that, no. It's a very independent-minded place. So there's always been kind of factions of people. But the people here I grew up with were really nice people. You might not have gotten along with anybody, but I kind of got along with everybody. The best person that I had here growing up that influenced me the most was Julie Kennedy.
And what did she do that influenced you?
She turned me on to reading.
Really?
I'd go over two or three times a week, and she'd have tea and a cake and stuff, and let me borrow it. She had tons of books, just walls lined with books, and I could borrow as many books as I wanted. And she just turned me on to reading, and that I'll forever be thankful. And she was also the place I could go to get away from my own family, just time to myself. That was a very special thing. And I have one statement that Galvin had made about me that I wish I could have been able to tell him I learned. He told me I'd never learned to navigate. I could not navigate an airplane to save my life when I was taking my aviation course. I kept ending up in China. And he just threw up his hands one day. You'll never learn. But I did. I learned very well. And I can now teach orienteering to Girl Scouts.
Oh.
And so I wish I could have been able to tell him I actually learned.
And did you also end up with a pilot's license out of that? No.
I can't see good enough.
Okay.
But,
so it had to do with physical detriments rather than...
Yeah.
Is there any other story you want to add before we...
No, just that in 1971, I went to Greenland in Denmark, and I know that Andy was just ecstatic about it. I'd spent hours down there trying to learn a few Danish phrases, or he'd learn to teach me about the culture of Denmark. So I, you know, it's kind of another neat
mm-hmm.
person I'd walk down and spend time with.
Why did you end up going to Denmark?
With the Girl Scouts.
With the Girl Scouts, okay.
I was selected as two people from Alaska to go with a six-member girl team to a camping event in Greenland. We spent 3 weeks in Greenland camping.
Wow.
A jamboree. There's Girl Scouts, Girl Guides, and Boy Scouts from all over the world.
And so Andy taught you a little bit of phrases and stuff?
Yeah, which I probably have forgotten, but
mm-hmm.
at the time it was very important. And, that was a very impressive trip to
mm-hmm.
go from here to there.
I'm not sure any of the people you listed... Well, there's the Warrens and Ginny Galvin and all the rest, the Sharps are probably gone.
Stan's still here.
Mm-hmm.
Carol's still around. Colleen's working in Fairbanks. I ran actually parked next to her truck at Fred Meyer's this last winter and didn't realize she was a vet. That was kind of interesting. And,
mm-hmm.
and Carol and I both ended up in anthropology, which was really interesting. Most of the people are gone.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any anthropological work around here?
No, I did not. All my field work I did for my university was at Dry Creek down by Healy. My minor in physical education, that's how I ended up teaching swimming in the school district and ending up with a job with the school district.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless you have anything else you'd like to add. Did you ever use any trails in this area?
Yeah, I actually did. There's back trails back behind my grandparents' house where Lonnie Mathis built back behind Lonnie Mountain, the Mathis' house, and some of those places, there were some old trails that went up to Deadwood. And I used to walk back and through there looking for Christmas trees and Christmas. I think most of those have been probably plowed through doing fire lines here, there, and everywhere. I know that one summer, Matt's birthday, that they plowed that one line back behind there, and I think that probably took that out from the dump fire.
Didn't you used to go cross-country skiing?
Yeah, down through the creeks and stuff. Used to be a nice skating pond just down past the bridge, just behind the state shop that used to be really flat and level, which one summer flood took out. There used to be a nice beach back there, too. You could sit back there and play in the sand. Used to be able to put in inner tubes and float down a little bit in the creek when it was full. I just know there's not been quite as much water down that creek lately. But yeah, there are all sorts of trails back and just knowing if I got gone too long, I'd get in trouble. So I wandered more on the trails down over Eagle Creek, going up and down all the what used to be the water sheets for their they dig for the water lines for water pressure to get for the mining up on the hills. And there's a whole series of them going up valleys up in Eagle and Dust. Gold dust. We've wandered those for ages.
For the hydraulic mining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were there as kids. It used to be go wander. It's no wonder I never got chased by bears. But I think I never got chased around here by moose. Down the main street, walking from going to the post office and back, came back one day and had Big Mama Moose chasing me. Right down the middle of the street. I swore I knew every tree I could climb between here and the post office by then.
You had them checked out so you could climb them in case? Or?
Yeah, after that, boy, I knew.
Well, thank you very much
You're
for
welcome.
Chatting with me.